hopefully laugh. You know, merry heart doeth good like medicine. You know, here we're not cookie cut. We all come from different backgrounds, different upbringings. But we all love the Lord. Amen? And the reason why I want us to go here before I lay this foundation, I know you've got the title of the message is Looking Foolish with a Question Mark, Still Standing Though. And the reason why I want to go there is because God is creating a new look. The Bible says, and Jesus laid it out, that you cannot take new wine and put it into old wineskins. A wineskin is us. The new wine is the moving of the Holy Ghost for that time and that era. The Lord changes not, but the Holy Ghost does cause us to change and to flow. And I've been accused for many, many years that you're all over the place, Pastor. You're into the Word of Faith. You're into the river. And I will not apologize. I will not settle in. We will not settle in. We will be open to whatever the Holy Ghost is doing, and we will encourage you to flow in that midst. But in doing so, you're probably by the norm or the tradition, you're considered foolish. Or at least you look foolish. Used to have visitors come, and then we'd hear, we hadn't seen, oh man, that's too out of the box. You know, you're jumping around up there, and I was raised to sit still, and if I didn't sit still, my mom would look or my dad would give me that evil look, and I understand that. I was raised similar myself. But when the Lord sets you free, you don't want to go back into Egypt. And I can tell that you're free. So this new wine is just the new flowing. Now, last week when I talked about the dams are breaking, and we represent the dams that the Lord, and remember when I gave you that, why the world always wants to say God, and then they'll use the word dam it? Because they don't want us flowing. So when they get mad, they use God's name, and then they throw in a damn it, because we're to be a dam to flow. So we've changed that. We're God flowers, not dammed up. Amen? And the more we flow as the rivers go, we see signs and wonders and God setting the captives free. With that mindset, you looking foolish, not really foolish, but looking foolish, brothers and sisters, understand Paul. He has come into a city called Corinth. And I want you to understand before I read Paul's letters, this book was written, the authenticity of it was never questioned. It's Paul. And it says the purpose, Paul was writing a pastoral letter to these Christians in Corinth because they were allowing the religion to sneak back in. They were allowing themselves to become carnal and fleshly. And Paul had to bring some straighten out. And this is what it says about the background of this city. It says, the typical Greek culture problems of Paul's day included a high percentage of gross sexual immorality. The city of Corinth, the Greeks were into idolatry, divisive philosophies, rejection of the body resurrection. This was all craziness to them. It says, they were into sensuality and sacred prostitution. Even the name of the notorious proverb of what Corinthicize means is to practice prostitution. It said they worshiped in this city where Paul went in to set free the goddess Venus. And it says the goddess of Venus was a licentious. It was a carnal goddess that they worshipped, and there was 1,000 professional prostitutes around her throne all the time. See, when you hear that, you understand Paul's got a mess to sort out in Corinth. And so we think, my gosh, there's a lot of similarities that sound like America today. Remember when we prophesied Jesus is coming back, but he said, darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness will be on the people. But we don't focus as much on that, but we focus on, but arise and shine. For the glory or the manifested presence of the Lord is arising upon his believers. We can call it a remnant. We can call it those that are deciding to be armed and ready. But it's a mighty army of men and women. And for years I've been calling people mighty men, mighty women of God, because I believe God has been preparing us for this time in history that our forefathers would have never dreamed about, where we have pandemics that are spreading across the earth. Then we have dams breaking and rivers breaking. Then we got riots breaking. What next? And here we sit. And the Lord has never lost his power. Amen. He's never had the church surrender. The movement now is get people to kneel to and apologize for things they're not even affiliated with, instead of saying, I kneel to Jesus and Jesus only. And we will not compromise. But you're going to sound foolish and you'll be ridiculed because you're not getting in the end thing. And that's what Paul had to sort out. They'd get free and then they'd slide back into doing the same stuff that the world did. So this is how he starts his address to the Corinthians. I'm in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to begin at verse 18. The Bible says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Everybody look at me before I proceed on. Hasn't it been hilarious? We should wear a mask. You shouldn't wear a mask. You need to be 6 feet. No, you can projectile 20 feet. Now you need this and that. And they're all over the place. You should stay home. You shouldn't stay home. More people getting sick in the homes than out of the home. And it's just like man's wisdom. I want man's wisdom to say, oh, we're going science. I'm telling you what, science can't disprove God, but we're not looking at science. We're looking at what saith the word of the living God. And you look foolish when you stand on the word. And he goes on, he says this, where are the wise? Where are the teachers? Where are the disputers of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I'm telling you, church, you don't have to flip to too many channels to see they're nuts. They don't understand. We're going to get rid of all the cops now. It's just stupidity now that's breaking forth. And yet, they're trying to figure it out with worldly wisdom. And Paul had to deal with the same kind of demeanor on the Corinthian church. Now, remember, this address wasn't to the unbelievers. This was to Christians that were getting sucked into the world. And he goes on, he says this. Pick it up in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. How many are called in this room today? Amen. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're called. But you weren't called because you're so wise according to the flesh, nor were you called because you're mighty in the flesh, nor because you're noble in the flesh. But God chooses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wisdom of man. And to put to shame the things that seem to be mighty. That the base or the insignificant things of the world, he's not chosen. And he goes on, verse 29, no flesh will glory in the presence. And it finishes, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now, I shared that because, church, we've got to come to that realization. We know, once again, God has shaken heaven and earth, and only that which is Christ is going to remain. But you need to understand, don't try to figure out what it's going to look like. Just be willing to flow with what the Holy Ghost says, and he will never come against the living Word of God. Because the Word of God is the premier of what we stand upon. And so we're continuously standing, even in the midst of all the nonsense that the Lord has exposed, and they think we're foolish because we're trusting the Lord. I was just taking a little bit of time to just focus on God. Now listen, how in the world would someone be told to build this big boat out in the middle of a desert with no water because the earth is going to be flooded? Now, the world will say we don't believe that. It don't matter what the world, it happened. And the flood came. Who in the world can figure out when all the enemy was chasing Moses out through the desert, came to the river and the Red Sea, and all of a sudden it parts? Scientifically, figure that one out. Now, some that try to figure it out says the only thing could have possible been one part of that particular water there. It was only up to your ankle deep. So it does say they went across on what kind of land?
Dry
land. So let's just, for the argument, okay, it was ankle deep land. Well, it said once the guys got through and the gals got through, all the people, it said that it came back and it drowned all the soldiers. Can you imagine them being drowned in a foot of water? That's pretty supernatural. So we realize God doesn't use man or worldly wisdom to keep us in the straight and narrow. I was thinking as I began to meditate on those walls of Jericho. Can you imagine the world trying to figure out what in the world are these guys marching around, staying quiet, not saying buku anything? Can you imagine what they must have been thinking? How foolish are these dudes? And then when they begin to scream and shout out, they must have said, oh my gosh, they've lost their heads. And all of a sudden, the shaking and the rumbling and the walls fall down. Wouldn't it have been terrible if we had been a believer and we're trying to figure it out with our head? Trust me, even Christians cannot figure out how God's going to move, but we need to be ready to move when he does move. And he moves by the flow of the Holy Ghost that lives in every one of us as believers. We're praying that the God of this world that's blinded some of our brothers and sisters, that they can't see through the fog, will be enlightened. You say, how can a believer not see there was something that went there where this baby was aborted and it was burnt, and it's a procedure they use? How can anybody look beyond that and not think God created that being and think it's okay to do away with them? It is craziness. Yes, and yet they look at us. How foolish can you be to believe God for everything? Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We've called ourselves Gideon's army for how long? Gideon's army of 300. Do you know that when God was going to move upon Gideon's group to set the captives free, there was 22,000? Do you know God says, hey, I'm going to show myself mightily? That's too many. Now, there was a whole lot more of the enemy, but that was still too many. So he told Gideon, tell him how dangerous it is. So he told the army how dangerous it would be, and 12,000 dropped out. And the Lord looked and said, there's still 10,000. I don't need 10,000. And so he said, go down to this particular location and have them drink water. And lo and behold, 300 that looked very foolish were dipping down and lapping like a dog. 9,700 just got down on their knees and drank. Which ones did God choose to set the captives free? The 300 that the world would have said, you're foolish. What in the world? You're acting like an animal. You're lapping like a dog. I doubt they had okay, do it this way. But do you understand? God's always trying to mess man up to realize you got to trust me. You can't trust your own being. Naaman was a commander. Naaman got leprosy. He needed to be freed. So he comes upon the prophet and says, I want to be freed. And he's told to go dip in the dirtiest, filthiest river, and he bucked the system. And he says, no way! You asked me to do something that the world accepts and that's dignified, I'd do it. And he stayed sick until he finally submitted and humbled himself and went and dipped, and immediately he was healed. Don't try to figure God out by it being a perfect. He does not use perfect people. He picked the disciples as the misfits and the ones that most couldn't even look at. What a blessing to know that he chose us. Amen. I'd like to say you're so great, that's why he chose you. No, you're great because God's in your life. We were nothing before him, but we realize we're all on the same team. You got the same Holy Ghost I got. Nobody's more powerful. We're the same. There's not a color, there's not a nationality that's different. We are all God's creatures, and we're all created in his image and likeness. and get over it and get into it and realize we're all on the same team. He does not show favoritism. And break that off the earth in Jesus' name. So I go to the upper room, 120 in the upper room. And all of a sudden, as you heard the word of encouragement, we need to be the sensitive wind. The mighty wind, it calls, begin to blow. Then it said like tongues of fire. It looked like a dove. Wasn't a dove, just looked like it. Set upon them. And they're all blasting away in a language that they don't speak. How foolish must they appeared that when they left that upper room and Peter is trying to dress, they still think those 120 and now 3,000 are drunk. They got to be. Nobody acts that way. I hate to tell you, when you get the Holy Ghost inside you, we're not drunk as you suppose, but we're out of this natural way into the supernatural way. I don't need a counterfeit to stay happy. I'm happy. I don't need fakeness, and neither do you. Because you got the God Himself that lives in you and flows out of us. But don't try to figure it out by human ways of thinking. Because all you're going to do is end up missing the boat. Can you imagine Peter in jail crying out, and all of a sudden the jail, even the church that was gathering, hiding at the time because of what happened, knocks on the door, and they're, oh, who is it? It's Peter. Oh, no, it can't be. He's in jail. God confounds us. Please don't get so prideful you think you know all the truths when it comes to the things of God. So the Bible says we know in part, we prophesy in part. You only know parts, and if you don't hang with the body of Christ, you only know parts. The parts come together, and we know the whole. So anybody that thinks they got the whole, they're lying. Because the Bible says a hand needs the eye needs the ear needs the foot. We need the whole. All the body is important because God places them where He places them, and they're needed. Can you imagine if we just took that for what it says, we wouldn't be putting man on a pedestal? Oh my gosh, look at how great, nothing rosy, but look at Pastor Weldon. He's so powerful. No, we'd realize He's a part of the body, and so am I a part of the body, and we're all needed. Wouldn't that be a healthy place? The only one we'd ever raise up would be Jesus. And it says if He be raised up, He would draw all men, all colors, all nationalities to Him. They will know us by the love we have one for another. Not by how knowledgeable and I've got all the answers. I don't. And if you ever come to a men's group and says, I don't know, let's look it up. Let's get your input. I may be wrong. I've gone from wrong many times to right. When I think I'm right and I'm wrong, it's okay. I'm a part, and so are you. And the sooner we quit criticizing others, I told you from the start, don't criticize churches that are not back in. This is not a who's got the most faith thing. This is being led by the Spirit of God. Whose timing is it now? Amen. And if we begin to criticize churches because they're not in, oh, they're full of fear and so forth, we become just as guilty as the enemy wants. Divide and conquer. Right. Right. And we say we love our brothers and sisters wherever they go to church, whether they're having church in service or whether they're online or whatever, because we are not coming against God's anointed. Right. And every believer is anointed. Because you have anointing that no man needs to. Paul and Silas locked in the inner court. Can you imagine? They're singing and praising God. And all of a sudden, the jail begins to shake. And the next thing you know, all the doors are open. Can you imagine during that time? You can say, oh, that was Bible times. We're in Bible times. Right. We're just a few years later. And that freaked people out. And what happened? This jailer was going to cut his throat. Don't do it. Here's Jesus' message. Jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your household will be saved. We're standing. Some of you are standing believing for your household. That's a promise that you can take to the bank as God says you and your household shall be saved. Well, He just loved that jailer more. No, He loves us all equally. That's where biases and prejudice and caste systems began.
well, they're really anointed and they're not as anointed, or they come from this side of town or they come from that side. No, we come from Jesus. And we are brothers and sisters fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? And so it's not going to be figuring out. It's going to be why all of a sudden the body of Christ will look normal. Are we really thinking that?
Nope.
Are we really thinking that something's happened, this shaking, all of a sudden we're all going to shake and be normal? No, that's what I'm saying. Don't tell us what we're going to look like. I don't know, but I want to be one of them. And I want as many as possible to be one. If you lock yourself in to a tradition and a setup, you become just as guilty, four walls around it, and all you'll do is worship that way. And I will challenge you in this room, and I think we're pretty free. You are your worst enemy when it comes to freedom. The only reason most of you don't really cut loose and worship is not because you can't. It's because you're embarrassed to. What will people think? Will it draw attention to me? All the different things that happened when King David was dancing with all his might because the presence of the Lord was so mightily. Even his wife made fun of him. See, this church isn't anywhere near as radical as those New Testament churches were. Because we're still inhibited by the world and our traditions and how we were raised. And I was raised this denomination, that. We didn't do that. I can venture out a little bit, Pastor. I'll raise my hands. But don't ask me to get outside my comfort zone. I'm not asking you, but I'm challenging you. If you're afraid of looking foolish, you're always going to stay in that dimension. But Pastor Weldon is always trying to stretch you to get out of your comfort zone, because it's not just about you. It's about others that you influence, which means your children and your grandchildren. Do they want to stay in this box of, oh, you don't do that in church? You know, in church it's very dignified, and we'll hear a good message. It'll be a good message that we'll take and try to apply in our family. And the Lord is saying, cut loose. Who the Son set free, you're free. Get out of yourself. Gosh, we got so many tools to worship God, and they sit dormant here. And I don't know why I'm going here, but I'm thinking, gosh, we got the best worshiping around, and it's not my wife is not prideful. She's got all these youngsters that are willing to come. She's got people that probably wouldn't get invited to play in a symphony, sorry. But it's like, these are the tools we use, but they're still coming to be used, and yet we are still traditional. Gosh, the reason why I know it's in us, because I coached for many, many years, and I was radical on the side of the coaching, you jumping up and down. I'd look in the stands, whether it was my fans when we would win, they were jumping up and down shouting. I'd see football games, they'd paint themselves up, they'd freeze their butts out. If the weather was cold, they were outside their comfort zone. We get saved, and all of a sudden, we don't want to look too, like Michael said to David, what's for a king to look undignified? Some of you kids need to challenge your parents. Come on, Mom and Dad, show us the way. Show us the way. You know, when the children of Israel were in captivity, do you know what they went to the Pharaoh and asked him to release them for? It wasn't just let us go because we don't want to be slaves anymore. Let us go freely worship our King. I think if we're feeling like we're slaves or enslaved or we're in bondage, we need to, Holy Ghost, help me to get out of this box that I've put myself in so that people only see me in this light, because I surely do not want to be too radical. And please, if you're guilty saying, well, Pastor Weldon and Pastor Kathy, they're just cut from a different mold. We may be cut from a different mold, but it's from the same architect, and his name is the Holy Ghost. And if you got a pre-existing condition in your heart or something, I understand. And please, my wife will say, why are you going to say this? But I remember ladies coming up to me and says, if I do that, I might wet my pants. I says, they've got something for that. That's not an excuse.
unless, again, you've got a medically challenged condition. But the rest of you have no excuse. You've got it in you to be a worshiping man and woman of God. And you got as much vitality as anybody. But if you stay in this self-imposed, this hasn't been imposed by anybody but yourself. If you stay in a self-imposed bubble of embarrassment or scaredness, I'm going to challenge the worship team up there. You need to, when you're up there, you need to get good enough where you don't just sing the words. I need to see some hands up. I need to see some bouncing. I need to see, I'm sorry, PK, I hope I'm not stepping on toes, but it isn't just going through the motions. It's letting the worship flow. I want to see. I don't worship in the back, and you know why I don't worship? And this was not on worship, but this is where we've got. I don't worship in the back because I can't stand seeing people sit down and not get into it. I just can't. So I get up here, and I don't have to look the other way. And some of you, maybe you need that if you're afraid, well, I don't do it as cool as somebody does it. David was not cool. In fact, he was almost naked when he's dancing with all his might unto the Lord. And I'm not encouraging nakedness while you worship. Seriously. I mean, I got a Jeff Kaufman back there, falls out a tree and dies. How many times? 7 times or whatever. He says, I'm not going to compromise. I want to get serious. I'm thinking, all of us have a story. I don't want to compromise anymore. I want to get serious. Serious doesn't just mean coming to church. Serious means getting out of your box. Why are you here? You're not here to just have a same old church service like any place. It's here because you got the freedom. You can lay on the floor, Sandra. God bless your heart. You're not embarrassed. You can dance. You can spin. You can twirl. You can shout unto the Lord. Or not. And I probably have not directed Pastor Mike. Am I going to get out there? You guys were pretty dormant today. I used to have a youth pastor, and it's not important who it was, and he was a worship leader, and he would tell me, oh, Pastor, I hate it when I'm leading worship because nobody really enters in. Like when PK, I says, guy, you don't enter in. They're not going to go any further than you. You're going to follow your example. Your kids aren't going to just enter in. It's a rare kid that will just cut loose and be free. But they're watching the pattern that moms and dads have set in their life. Are they really excited to love God, or is it just the service we're going to? And some might say, well, that's a young people's thing. I hate to tell you, I think we have as many seniors worshiping, and I'm in that category. It is not a senior, whatever. It's in your heart. God has created us. He says he inhabits our praises. And yes, you can go to 99 out of 100 churches and you can, some of them, and nothing against hymnals, you can read your 5 stanzas, you can stand, sit up, you can even kneel, and you can go through, and that'll be very comfortable because traditionally that's what everybody does. But you don't come here because you want to be traditional. You don't come here just same as. You come here because you love the freedom. I'm just encouraging you to get out of your self-imposed jail. If he says once again he's going to shake heaven and earth and only that which is of Christ, I'm telling you, Christ is not in a box. He's radical. He's radical. I'm sorry. I've seen it in my own biological brothers and sisters. If the moms and dads were radical, the kids eventually get more radical. If they're laid back and stoic and kind of historic statues, the kids end up that way. And if you've got a medical reason, I'm not talking to you, but you don't know the encouragement. PK, when you see people actually worshiping, does that encourage you? It would encourage me. I'm not turning around, but it encourages me when I hear others hollering up here, yoo-hoo, yes! And some might visit and say, oh my gosh, look at what they allow. We're a Pentecostal church. We're baptized in the Holy Ghost. We speak in tongues. We prophesy. We lay hands on the sick. We do everything we know to do, and we're looking for anything the Holy Ghost tells us to do. That's why we miss coming to church for those few weeks, because you can't see on Facebook. Is it Facebook? I'm not on there, so I don't. Sorry, all you Facebook people, but. But you come because having done all, go to Ephesians. I'm going to wrap this up. I know I'm probably way off where I was going, but it's okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Here's that same Paul that straightened out the Christians in Corinth. He's telling the Ephesian Christians, finally, believers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand. Everybody say stand. Stand. The whole emphasis is not to kneel unless we're kneeling under the Lord. It's to stand against the devil. For we do not wrestle flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And that's what we've been battling, right? Therefore, because this is going on, we take up the whole armor of God, that we will be able to withstand, which means with the whole armor of God, with that we can stand. It's about standing. You're not going to create the miracles. He is. But we do everything we know to do and stand. And wait for the rivers to flow and to go forth. And he says, therefore, you take up the whole armor of God that you can withstand in the evil day. Are we in an evil day? And having done all, here we go again, having done everything we know to do, and we don't know what it's going to look like, but having done everything we know to do, we stand. We do not submit to the forces of darkness. We stand. And we stand for righteousness. And then it goes on, gird your waist with truth. Truth is just another name for the Word of God. Are we challenging you to be in the Word of God for yourself? That brings truth. If more people that are obstinately saying junk would be in the Word of God, they would see what God says. And it would be a freeing element. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. When do we put that on? When we did what? When we got saved. It's again the Word of God. You get His righteousness. Have your feet shod with a preparation of the gospel or the good news of peace. Again, that's the Word. You put it on. It's a peace that passes natural understanding. And here's how we were named. And we lift up the shield of faith. And that's how we've been praying here. Over all of you that call this your home. We pray over our families that the shield of faith surrounds our families. And it quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. Now listen to me. Going to James 3, and I'm not going to go there. The Bible says our words are fiery missiles. They can kill or they can heal. I'm telling you, foolish looking, not really foolish, foolish looking, there's going to be a lot of missiles come your way. When you take a stand for the things of God, you're not going to be popular with the world. But it's quenched with the shield of faith. The shield of faith quenches it. It's like, puts it out. Take the helmet of salvation. When we get born again, our mind needs to get renewed. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, and you pray always on every season and every occasion. We don't listen to me, church. Every day, 12 to 1, Pastor Mike and I are, for the most part, in the prayer room praying. We're praying for our country. We're praying for our state. We're praying for a city. We're praying for you. Because it's significant. We can't do this in the natural. We're not fighting a flesh and blood. I find it so sad that there aren't more people given to prayer. I'm not saying come into our prayer, but even when we go into the city prayer, it's like, what the heck? How do you do anything if you're not all the time praying? Pray all times in every season in the Spirit. Pray unceasingly. We have to be people of the word, but we have to be prayer warriors. So, if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness, if to the world we look foolish, but the Lord says, having done everything, we're supposed to what?
Stand.
Isaiah 59:19 says it this way. They're just about ready to get Isaiah 60, where the glory of the Lord's coming. And in 59 it says, the enemy is going to come. It says, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, like a flood. Remember the dams? Like a flood, God's going to raise up a standard. In other words, going to raise men and women up to stand against the forces of hell. What we have been praying, that this closet mentality on the Christian church would come out of the closet and become the mighty men and women of valor to take authority over this earth, especially over Saginaw and over your neighborhoods. Having done all, man of God and woman of God, stand and declare that my neighborhood is blessed, my neighborhood is free. COVID-19 has no place in this neighborhood, no place in this church. Got nothing to do with, I'm not going to be fearful. It's going to be, we're standing on the word of God. No weapon formed against us is prospering. And wherever your community is, whether it's in California, and you got a whole mess there. And the East Coast, I don't know what it is. But we got believers there. We got to stand with them. We got to believe with them that the truth will prevail. And this, we look. They think the world thinks we're foolish if they only knew what they look like. But we're not in it to criticize them. We're in it to rally. The trumpets are sounding. Rise up, oh men and women. I'm going to ask you, rise up, oh soldiers today. Rise up, having done all. You're standing. You're standing fully armored. You're standing in the presence of the Lord because the Holy Ghost lives in you. You're standing even when you don't feel like it. Let me tell you something. When I go to prayer every day from 12 to 1 here, I don't normally feel like it. You know, when I study the word, I don't normally feel like it. I'm sorry if that pops your bubbles. I don't pray because I feel like it. I don't work out almost every day because I can't wait to work out. I do it so I will continue to be able to worship my God and continue to stay healthy. It's not because I got to do it. I do it because I want to do it, even when I hate doing it. And people, oh, Pastor, I always thought you just were a man of prayer and the word because you just delightfully look forward to it. There's times, but most of the time it's pure out of knowing what's good for me, but what's good for you. I'm supposed to be an example to you. If I'm not a man of prayer, if I'm not a man of the word, how can I ask you to be? Right. How can you ask your kids to be if they don't see you in that light? How can you ask your grandkids if they don't see you? My grandma gave me my first Bible underlined portions that she knew would stick out to me, and that was back when I was a rebellious teenager. Thank God for a praying grandpa and grandma that believed me, and a mom and dad that prayed me into the kingdom. I've got some moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas that are having done all, they're standing. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Your kids could be entering into a thing that doesn't look right. It doesn't matter. God is bigger than whatever they're into. And having done all, you're standing and trusting. Me and my household, we're calling the prodigals. Today in prayer, prodigals come home. We believe they're coming back to the body of Christ. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are going to flourish in the courts of their God. They're wanting to get to church, not because they're obligated, but because they can't wait to see their family. That's us. That's you. That's me. And you know I challenge those that tune in Facebook. Find a local church. Get planted. One that loves God and gives you freedom to grow. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we are here as your tools to use here in Saginaw Valley. You've got those that are tuning in, whatever neighborhood they're from. We're thanking you that what you've begun, this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and it has never changed its mind. And we lift up our nation, one nation under God, indivisible and liberty for all. And if anybody's not exercising that, line up, because it's for all, every color, every ethnic background, every created being. has been created equal in God's sight. And we stand in agreement. And if somebody's tuned in or someone's here that's not made Jesus Christ your Lord, this is the day you do that. You say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to make you Lord of my life. Invite him in. He says he'll come in and he won't beat you down. And then tell somebody that you did that. And get connected to a live bunch. And get out of yourself. Hardest thing to get out of is free from yourself. Get out of yourself. Those restrictions you put on yourself for whatever reasons, get out of that. Truly be free. If your favorite team won an unexpected victory, you wouldn't say, oh, good job. No, you'd be jumping up and down screaming. You need that same excitement for someone that will never leave you nor forsake you, and his name is Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. As we go from here, it's not just a service, but we take you with us. And where you go with us, and we set our communities free. And we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need special prayer, altars are open. We'll pray for you. Be blessed. Love on your neighbor. Greet those that are here.